This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulihil Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Respected brothers, elders, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Today I thought we'd speak about a very important juncture in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in Islamic history itself. As you all know, when the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the command to give the da'wah openly, so there's three stages. One is secretly, one is family members, and then the third one is where the command was to give the da'wah openly. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now when the command was given to give the da'wah openly, he would go to the souqs, the marketplaces, ukaz and others. And marketplaces are not like your boring center here. Marketplaces were specific marketplaces which were inaugurated in certain times of the year. So they would have huge marketplaces where all the people would come, they would sell their goods. But not only that, there would be like, you know, women who would dance would come there, poets would come there, wrestlers would come there, they would compete. So it was a very multifaceted marketplace. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to these marketplaces and he would give da'wah to the people. And he would say, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, and you will be successful. And he would go from one marketplace to the next, from one stall to the next, to giving people da'wah toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the mushrikeen would perform hajj. So when they would come for the Hajj, so the Hajj came from Ibrahim alayhi's time, and they had made some changes to their Hajj. So when they would come for Hajj, the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give them da'wah. So he would, and this lasted for 10 years. So 10 years the message of Allah gave these people da'wah. In approximately 2 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated, a group of people came from Medina, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Can I speak to you?" And they said, "Okay." He said, "Do you mind coming down from your mounts?" So they got off their camels and they sat with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these were 6 people, in some narrations 8 people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them da'wah towards Islam. So they said, "You know what this guy is talking about? We've heard the Jews in Medina speak about this many times." So what would often happen is when the mushrikeen were the majority in Medina, but the economic stronghold of Medina was in the hands of the Jews. So whenever an issue would break out between the Jews and the mushrikeen, the Jews would say, "Don't worry, when that final prophet comes, we're going to side with him and we're going to do to you what happened to Ad and Thamud. And we're going to destroy you. You're the majority today, we're the minority, but watch, a day will come." So the Arabs, the people of Medina, said, "We've heard about this Nabi. Let's not allow the Jews to get to him before we get to him. Let's embrace his deen." So these individuals, now they embrace the deen of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the deen of Islam, and they go back to Medina. Now the mushrikeen of Makkah know nothing what's happening. So imagine, an entire year is going past, and the persecution is very strong upon the Muslims. You know, this is a time after the year of grief, Aam al-Huzn of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib has passed away, his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu anha has passed away. The Messenger of Allah really doesn't have too many protectors. So then, the next year, Hajj. Another 12 individuals from the Ansar, they come. They're not Ansar at that time, but from the people of Medina, they come, and they are hiding their Islam from the rest of the group. So there's a large group from Medina who have come for Hajj. So what they do is, in the middle of the night, they leave, and they go and meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So nobody knows that these 12 individuals have left and gone. This is in the Hajj time. They're in Mina, and they go and they reach a place called Aqaba. That place, Al-Aqaba, there's a masjid there now where the bay'ah was given. The bay'atul Aqabatul Ula and the bay'atul Aqabatul Thani. So there's a masjid there just where you pelt the shaitans. Near there is a masjid still there where they give bay'ah. They gave both bay'ahs in exactly the same place. So there came 12 of them, and they gave bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gave allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let me just go through what this allegiance was. So Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ta'alu bay'uni ala hadha." Okay, so he said, come here and give me bay'ah upon this. First, أَنْ لَا تُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. That you do no shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No shirk. Yeah, this is the first thing. Secondly, وَلَا تَسْرِقُ. You do not steal. وَلَا تَزْنُ. You do not do zina. You do not fornicate. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ أَوْلَادُكُمْ. You do not kill your children. Because in certain tribes of the Arabs, they would bury their daughters alive. They would kill their children. Why? Because they feared poverty and for some other reasons. وَلَا تَعْتُ بِبُحْتَانِ تَفْتَرُونَهُ. And you do not slander. You do not make up iftira and lies regarding other people. And the third thing, وَلَا تَعْصُونِ فِي مَعْرُوفٍ. And you do not disobey me if I command you to do anything good. So these were the things which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded. So you look at the first one. The first one is about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest, do not steal, do not do zina, do not kill your children, do not slander, do not make lies about other people, and do not disobey me if I command you in good things. Are all to do with good mannerisms, good akhlaq, good morals, good ethics. You know, don't do these things. They have an adverse impact on society. So these 12 people, they give bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now Hajj is finished. Nobody knows. The people of Makkah don't know. They go back. Now when they go back, they start to speak about people more than last time. Now they start. So every single house in Medina has now heard the name of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And many people now are thinking about embracing, and some have even embraced. So come now the next Hajj. So the next Hajj comes. So there's about approximately over 70 individuals who now want to go and meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, so the numbers increasing. For 10 years, nothing. Or for 8 years, nothing. Every year, and if you're interested in history, you go and see how the Prophet ﷺ gave people dawah. They would spit in his face, they would pick up dust, and they would throw it in his face, but he carried on. Now, there's 70 approximately individuals who want to meet the Prophet ﷺ, but there's 500 people from Medina altogether. But they don't want the others to know, obviously. So what they do is that they, in the middle of the night, slowly, one by one, they make excuses to go to the bathroom. Vast majority are sleeping. And then they make their way to the Prophet ﷺ, who's in the same place, in the Aqaba. So they go and to beat the Prophet ﷺ. And in that year, they were discussing that we cannot leave the Messenger of Allah in Medina, in Mecca, all this time. He's being persecuted. The Muslims are being persecuted. We need to give him refuge here. So they go to the Prophet ﷺ, and now this is to kind of seal the deal. To convince the Messenger of Allah, look, you need to come with us. The Hijrah, our abode is your abode. So they come to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, and with the Messenger of Allah, his own uncle Abbas is there. Abbas is 2 years older than the Messenger of Allah. He's his uncle, but he's not a Muslim. But the Bani Hashim stood by the Prophet ﷺ through thick and thin, although the vast majority were not Muslim. And that's why the Messenger of Allah said, my tribe is the best of tribe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Kinana. From the Kinana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Quraysh. From the Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Bani Hashim. And from Bani Hashim, Allah chose me. And my tribe, my clan, the Bani Hashim were the best of clans. Because when they were boycotted for 3 years, in the Shab ibn Abi Talib, it wasn't the Muslims who were boycotted. Remember this. It was the Bani Hashim who were boycotted. And the Bani Hashim, even Abu Talib, who was an old man at that time, remained with the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 3 years they were boycotted. The only person from the Bani Hashim who did not side with the Messenger of Allah was Abu Lahab, his uncle. So Abbas says to the Ansar, he said, listen, I am his uncle, I am not a Muslim, but one thing is that we, the Bani Hashim, as much as we can, we have protected my nephew, and we will carry on protecting my nephew. You tell me, if he decides to go to Medina, will you protect him like us? Now, I want you here to compare the two bayahs, okay? So the first bayah was, don't steal, don't do this, don't do this. You know, generally ethics, morals. Here, the people of Medina say, O Messenger of Allah, okay, you tell us what you want from us. So the Messenger of Allah says, I say to you, أَسْأَلَكُمْ لِرَبِّي أَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنْ تَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ. For the sake of Allah, I ask you that you worship Him solely and you do not do shirk with Him. You do not ascribe partners to Him. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, تُبَايِعُونِي عَلَى سَمِّي وَطَعَتِي. You will give bayah to me. This is what I expect from you. You will give bayah to me that you will listen and you will obey. You see the last one, he said, you will obey me if I say good things in ma'ruf. Here he will say, you will listen to me and you will obey me fi nashati wal kasli. Even when you're eager, when you're zealous, and even if you're tired. Meaning, listen, you will obey me, you like it or you don't. Wa nafaqati fil usri wal yusri. And that you will spend in ease and difficulty. Wa alal amri bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. And that you will give bayah to me that you will enjoin good and you will forbid evil. Wa an taqulu fil lahi. لا تخافون في الله لومة لائم. And you will speak for the sake of Allah in the matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will not care what people have to say. ولا أن تنصروني وتمنعوني إن قدمت عليكم. And he said, if I come to you, if I decide to come to you, that you will stop people from advancing towards me, attacking me, مما تمنعون منه أنفسكم وأزواجكم وأبناءكم. Like you stop from yourself and your families. So you will protect me and you will protect my companions like you protect your own family. You see now, you see the difference between the first bay'ah and the second bay'ah. The first bay'ah was generally about morals and ethics. The second bay'ah is no. The second bay'ah is now about creating a community, creating a state, creating an environment, creating an ummah. So it starts with the Prophet says, "Ala sammi wa ta'ati fi nashati wal kasli," that you will obey me even if you are eager or even if you are tired. Period. And this is what, look, this is what the deen is all about. The deen is about you making that effort in times of difficulty, and your reward is far greater. You come into the masjid when it's difficult to come, but you still come to the masjid. You don't want to do something for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you still do it because it's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the message of Allah saying, you want me to come? Okay, here's my first condition. First condition, you do not do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second condition, you obey, you listen, if you feel like it or if you don't feel like it. If you ever want to create a community, a society, you need people who have vigor, who have a passion, a drive, a concern, even when they don't feel like it. And honestly, wallahi, this is one of the biggest issues that we as the Muslim Ummah have today. We like everything easy. Deen is easy. Our dawah is what? Our dawah is social media now. Forward a message somebody sent to you. Oh, you feel really you've done your dawah for the day today, mashallah. You've read three messages on your phone on WhatsApp, which are religious, mashallah. You're on a spiritual hype. And then you forward another one or two, and your dawah is done. This is not how dawah is done. This is not how we sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do it in times of ease and difficulty. And if you're only doing what you want to do, this is not dawah. Maybe Allah will reward you, inshallah Allah will reward you. But this is not the enthusiasm which the early Muslims had. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you spend fil usri wal yusr. You spend in times of ease and in times of difficulty. Generally, not everybody, but generally, obviously, when it's easy to spend, when you got, you know, you've hit your target for the year, and you got your new car, you got your new house, whatever you wanted, and then you got a couple of, you know, 100 of whatever left over, then you kind of fork out, you know, it's easy. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, I don't want you to spend when it's easy. I want you to spend when it's also difficult. Look, Allah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul past his ability. Allah doesn't want you to give everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then you start begging on the street. There was a man when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was a man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he had a bar of gold. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I found this bar of gold in the mine and I want to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have nothing besides this. So the Messenger of Allah turned away from him. So he came to the right side of the Messenger of Allah. And the Messenger of Allah turned this way. And he came to the left side of the Messenger of Allah, trying to give it to him. And the Messenger of Allah turned away. Then he came from behind like this. And the Messenger of Allah grabbed it and he threw it. He said, I don't want any of you spending everything that he has and then regretting it and asking other people. Allah doesn't want us to give everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then say, oh, what I'm going to do for the next month. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does expect you to put your hand in your pocket and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the one who provided you yesterday, the one who provided you last week, the one who provided you since the day you were born, will also provide you in the future. And this is what the Messenger of Allah said. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them that you enjoin good and you forbid evil. La ilaha illallah. You enjoin good and you forbid evil. If you see an evil, you, in the best of your ability, you deal with that evil. You try to rectify that evil. Because that's how every society is created. If you are only concerned about yourself, then what kind of community are you going to have? If you are if Zahir Mahmood is only concerned about himself, what kind of home is Zahir Mahmood going to have? A dysfunctional home. If Zahir Mahmood's entire family is only worried about them, nobody else, let everybody rot. Let everybody, you know, starve to death. Let everybody go to prisons. No education, no salah, no deen. Then what kind of society are you going to have? If everybody in Aston is only concerned about Aston, and even that would be alhamdulillah. But if we were only concerned about Aston, then what about the rest of the Muslims in the country? Then what about the rest of the country? Then what about the Ummah? And this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that you need to enjoin good and you need to forbid evil. And honest, you know, I've spoken about this a million times, but you know, honestly, you see these teachings in our deen, and then you look at our community who doesn't care. The, you know, we don't even compare with the non-Muslim. That's how bad we are. Honestly, you go to any street in any of these surrounding areas and you see on the corners, people have dumped their sofas, their fridges. Somebody must have seen them do it. Somebody must have seen them do it. You don't pick up a fridge and nobody put it in your pocket. You don't pick up a sofa and leave it on the, and nobody says a word. You see youngsters, you see youngsters dealing drugs, street corners. You know who the local drug dealers are, but nobody ever says a word. How do you allow your own children? You know they're drug dealers. You know they're parasites of society. You know they're sucking the blood of individuals. You know they're breaking up families. And you still allow them to come in your home and eat, drink, and feed you haram. Oh, it's my child. And then, worse than that, is nobody else in the community says a word. These individuals become role models. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, enjoin good and forbid evil. And then he says, let me tell you the next thing. When you do this, when you speak for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la takhaf illa lawmat la'im. Don't care about those who are going to point the fingers at you. Don't care about those who are going to say, oh, this guy's like this. Because when you speak the haq, people will always oppose you. That is the nature of speaking the truth. That when you speak the truth, people will oppose you. He's telling the Sahaba, he's telling the Ansar, you know, you 70 so people, when you will go back, your people will turn against you. The Aus and the Khazraj and your leaders will say, why are you siding with this man who his own family don't side with? Why are you siding with this man who the Quraysh don't want? But the Messenger of Allah is saying, listen, stand firm when you speak for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't care about what people have to say. And then finally, the Messenger of Allah says to them, I expect you to protect me and the Sahaba. That you will defend us like you defend your own family. They said, O Messenger of Allah, if we do all this, what will we get in return? The Messenger of Allah replied with one word. He said, Jannah. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was sitting there and he said, Rabi' al-Bay. He said, what a bargain. What a bargain. You and I would have thought it's a pie in the sky. He wants to give us to spend, to take on our own community, to sacrifice everything, and he's promising us something, a pie in the sky. But they said, Rabbi Halbay, what a bargain. And I want you to go right to the beginning. I want you to go right to the beginning. That the Messenger of Allah would go to the Hajj, where the mushrikeen would do Hajj from tent to tent to tent, and they would spit in his face. They would take dust and would throw it in his face. And one day, he came out, and his daughter Zainab, who was a young girl at that time, she brought him some water, and she's pouring this water on his hands. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is washing the dust and the spit from his face. And he looks up and he sees the anxiousness in his daughter's face, seeing her father go through this. And he said, oh, my daughter, don't regard this as disgrace. Don't be anxious, don't be worried. For I swear by Allah, a day will come that this deen will reach the house of every baked and unbaked home. He carried on for years giving those people dawah until they embraced Islam. And then in the final Hajj, the Messenger of Allah stood on the mountain, and the narrator says, I stood up behind the Messenger of Allah, and he said, as far as my eye could see, as far as my eye could see, I saw people waiting to listen to the Messenger of Allah. He said, I looked to my right, and as far as my eye could see, there were people waiting to listen to the Messenger of Allah. He said, I looked to my left, and as far as I could see, there were people waiting to listen to the Messenger of Allah. 4 million people go to the place where the Messenger of Allah gave unflinching dawah for years upon years. 4 million people yearly go for Hajj, where the Prophet ﷺ gave dawah. It started from nothing. It started from being spat in his face, dust thrown in his face. And you look, subhanAllah, inna ma'al usri yusra. Indeed, with every difficulty, Allah makes many, many ease. May Allah elevate the status of the Messenger of Allah on our behalf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of the Ansar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of these people, because the Messenger of Allah said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. Man will be with the person that he loves. May Allah unite us with the Messenger of Allah and the Sahaba on the Day of Judgment. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.